Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you this morning.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing very well, thank you. And I'm trying to figure out what things I'm going to say positive I'm looking for, and we want to talk about Yemen.
Yeah.
And maybe there is a twinge of something positive there, because we've mentioned the Yemen war that we've been involved with and allied with Israel and Saudi Arabia and yeah. UAE. So, but it looks like there's been a change, and the word that came to me when we were thinking about was schizophrenia,
yeah.
you know, of the policy.
Exactly.
Because all of a sudden, you know, after all these years, all these justifications, been going on for more than a decade. I think the first time I was really criticized on national TV was more than 10 years ago, because we were too close to what was going on there. But there's been what they call a proxy war. Now, it was our policy, Republican or Democrat.
Yeah.
You know, the proxy war, it was all Iran's fault. They sent them in there. They caused all the trouble. And that was the justification for our help, our military assistance, and the bombing, and all these things going on. There's been an attempt, because there's individuals now, hopefully a lot of Americans have awakened, that put pressure on our congressmen. They tried to cut off money for this.
Yeah.
And this spring, this past spring, there was some money in, they passed a bill.
And
Trump vetoed it. He wasn't going to cut off this war. And Rubio said, "Don't you dare do that, or I'll get you."
Good for business.
So they put the money back in. And then the money in the NDAA just recently, there was a restriction on the money. And yet in the conference, and we talked about this just the other day.
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, they put the money back in. So it's an on again, off again. But all of a sudden today, the policy has changed. In this case, in the right direction, but I don't think they've all of a sudden become non-interventionist libertarians.
Yeah.
But we'll take it any way we can get it. So today it is said that Trump's changed the position, that it is not a proxy war, and therefore in this case we don't have to support this war. So there's things going on. At the same time, they did mention in the release, and the administration still takes the position, that doesn't mean that Iran's off the hook,
yeah.
you know. So we're still going to surround them with about 100 nukes,
yeah.
you know, just in case they attack us. So anyway, this is different. It's changed. And it's amazing how facts can change so quickly. You know, all of a sudden, it's not a proxy war. So did they quit becoming a proxy war? Or could we be a little bit nutty on our foreign policy? Of course, for me, the foreign policy is very consistently wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I think you could make a comparison to how many factions there are between what has been going on in Yemen and Syria, and even Afghanistan, all these places. Once we disrupt things, you know, you have different factions coming out and looking for an opportunity to gain power. But right now it's shifting, and there's several reasons to suggest, you know, just why this has happened.
Yeah, and what we're talking about, we saw this first on antiwar.com, which is a great early morning stop for people. But Brian Hook, who's the U.S. Special Representative for Iran, I'd probably call him the U.S. Special Representative for War on Iran, and more accurately. But this is the shift in policy, you know, and this is a statement he made just recently. He said, quote, "Iran clearly does not speak for the Houthis, nor has the best interests of the Yemeni people at heart. Iran is trying to prolong Yemen's civil war to project power." And within all of the fire breathing in that sentence is a big shift, because here's what he said in September. "Iran is controlling and deploying the Houthis as a terror front." So it goes from the fact that basically the Houthis are zombies of Tehran to all of a sudden, Iran is not really that much involved. And so you'd say, well, is this a wake-up call? If they finally wake up and smell the coffee and see reality? You know, when we feel optimistic, we'd like to think that. However, we have a cynical side. And my guess is that what's more responsible for this shift is that the Saudis are getting the pants beat off of them by these you know, tribal people in Yemen, the Houthis. And they're trying to sue for peace. There have been secret talks. There have been open talks. The talks are ongoing. The Saudis are losing this war. Unfortunately, as they lose, they take thousands and thousands of more innocent civilians with them in direct bombing and in famine in Yemen. You know, we're truly one of the world's greatest, probably the world's greatest humanitarian catastrophe, all done by the Saudis with our backing. Still, they're losing, which goes to the Ron Paul theory, which is when you're fighting for your homeland, you're going to fight harder.
There you go.
And so I think it's really the U.S. still covering for the Saudis, giving them some cover for trying to extricate themselves from this.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring up that word, because that's exactly what I'm thinking here, is that once again, the people defending their homeland can win, and they frequently do win. It's a long, tedious job, and it's very expensive, but that's why we're still at war for 18 years, and maybe we'll surrender our efforts in Afghanistan. And it looks like they're going to have to, because, you know, the evidence now is so terrible about how ridiculous that whole war has been. So this is, I think it's good news that this is happening, and that the homeland people. Does that mean it's going to be smooth sailing? No, but there's tribalism in this country too.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like the tribalism of Afghanistan. So it's a way of life. And this whole idea that people from the United States and Europe know exactly what to do with the Middle East and these tribal areas and tell them exactly what to do. And generally it's resented, just as we would resent it is if somebody came and told us we had to change our society. And even a little bit of a hint at changing our society can arouse a lot of strong feeling. But this to me is evidence that something significant has changed. I think the bombing, I think it was in September that there was a bombing of, and it really cut into the production of oil in Saudi Arabia. And 100%, the argument was 100% sure that the Iranians did it. Now, maybe they did it. Didn't do it. So, but we do know that the Iranians have sympathies for people, the Houthis in Yemen. But that's sort of a natural thing, because Saudi Arabia and Iran never got along well together. But I think the greater amount of aggression comes from Saudi Arabia.
You know, and this war is unpopular in the U.S. I think the reason, we shouldn't be naive, the reason why the Senate and the House, there are a few principled people there, but the reason why they took up this issue is because it is so grotesque. The genocide is so grotesque. The images of the children starving are so horrific that they've been pressured to do something finally. And it is unpopular. Americans like to believe that we're only out there doing good. Unfortunately, they are a little naive. But, you know, the lie was always, and the neocons spread it just like they spread the lies for the Iraq war and so on, that Iran is fighting a proxy against Saudi Arabia and Israel and Yemen, and therefore, for the good of humanity, we've got to go in there. And, of course, for Trump, it's good because he sold a lot of weapons. But, you know, the National Interest article that was linked from the anti-war article reminds us, first of all, it reminds us of why WikiLeaks is hated so much and why they continue to try to kill Julian Assange. Because we know from those embassy cables that WikiLeaks leaked to us that the U.S. government privately believed that the Yemen Houthi problem was created by Saudi Arabia, not by Iran. The then ambassador in 2007 said, before the overthrow, the Yemen government claims the Houthis want to set up a regime modeled on Iran. This is unclear. Houthi statements and military operations have focused on control of North Yemen, where they have tribal alliances. And here's another cable that was leaked. The deputy chief of mission at the U.S. Embassy in Yemen wrote at the time that the Houthis were being stirred up by an influx of Saudi-backed sectarian Sunni preachers. So the Saudis were starting things up by sending in all these radical preachers, radical Sunni preachers. The Houthis are not Sunni. They're a form of Shia. And so they're disrupting, the Saudis are disrupting the internal balance of the country. And that's what happened. And the Houthis weren't trying to take over the country. They had an alliance with their, with their tribes in the north. And this is what we talked about yesterday with Afghanistan.
Yeah.
We refuse to look at the world in a different way than we look at our own self, that there are not sort of monolithic governments, that this is a tribal thing.
you know, there's not much mention of Oman, and yet they might have played a role in this and in softening the hostilities, because I think they have been doing some talking with Saudi Arabia, and they might have been able to soften this, because you don't hear much about them being militarily involved. But it was in their interest. They live in the territory. They're a part of the neighborhood, and it would be a plus to see somebody like that maybe helping to bring the peace in this area. But when you have people going 6,000 miles away and supporting governments like the Saudi government, it just makes no sense. And I still think the word schizophrenia, where the way we switch around, one minute we're supporting, the next minute we switch. And I keep thinking about how many times do the Kurds have to switch? That's not so much schizophrenia, but our policy is schizophrenic. Yeah. Because we're one time giving support to a group, then we withhold their support. And this one is rather dramatic. I don't recall any change in policy this dramatic. But some people are saying, well, they don't get too excited, don't overly cheer, because yes, it's not their proxy war, but they're still bad guys, and this sort of thing. And they may well be. I don't think all of the potential animosities between the individuals, including Iran, they have an interest in there. So it's probably somewhere in between. Neither that the Iranians caused everything, which we don't believe, or that there will be nothing at all. I think it would be normal for them to have an interest. So all we need to do, Daniel, is send over a pamphlet and spread it around and say, read this pamphlet. I want to tell you about non-intervention, why your tribal organization, the way you have your country, it should be legal in a free society. Why do people have to pester you? And you don't pester anybody else. If you don't pester anybody else, nobody should be pestering you. But that's too complicated. They much rather have this simplistic. Have six or eight groups, because selling weapons and people who don't deserve power over other people wouldn't know what to do if they didn't have these options. So it's just not popular with the authoritarians and the people who are making money.
And this really goes to the core of what's wrong with U.S. foreign policy. Because the so-called experts are incapable of digesting a very simple concept, which is that other nations act according to their own perceived or objectively real national interests. Those might not always be in line with the U.S. national interest, and that diplomacy is how you reconcile those two differences, potential differences. So the U.S. can never conceptualize that someone else is acting according to a national interest completely separate from ours. And I say this because you mentioned Oman, and that's an important point, because Oman is trying to be a kind of peace broker in this war. It's not because they woke up one morning and decided that they want to be the local peacemakers. Something actually more fundamental and probably more healthy. They're doing business with Iran. They share a big natural gas deposit between the two of them, and it's Iran and Oman's interest to not have this conflict in the region, because they both want to make some money and do well and build up their countries. So this is the reason they're acting according to their national interest, Oman and Iran, in trying to tamp this thing down, get this war over, so they can build some pipelines, sell some gas, and get back to normal.
You know, there's another part that we frequently mention, and that is the lack of education that enters into the minds of the people who run our foreign policy.
Yeah.
They never learn. They do the same thing over. And some people say, well, they don't really want to learn. They have this motivation that perpetual war is a benefit.
Yeah.
And they have their reason. But there are many others, though, just never give up. They're locked in. And they say that, we have to do more. Like there were people who wanted that war in Vietnam for various reasons, but a lot of them didn't like the idea of America losing a war. We're supposed to bring goodness and greatness to these countries, and so therefore they get locked in on it. And the only reason, they never look at possibly error in their judgment, they just said, we didn't give them enough.
Yeah.
And we hear that too. I mean, we've heard it in, you know, dealing with Afghanistan and Iraq. I say, you know, yeah, we're going to lose Iraq. We're not going to gain any of them as far as I'm concerned. It's not going to likely happen, but they don't learn from it. But the big thing is that just stupidity, I think it is on some part, ignorance because they don't know what's going on. And for others, their interests are served by the perpetuation of constant war.
Yeah, it builds a lot of mansions in D.C. And, you know, we started out talking about this. Why is this shift? And I think and you mentioned the September missile attack on the Saudi oil facilities. And that was really a game changer. The Houthis claimed credit for it. The U.S. blamed Iran. Iran said we didn't do it. The U.S. said we're absolutely sure. Just like they said about Syria, remember, with the chemical attack. Now we're finding out that was not so sure. The U.S. said, we are sure we have the evidence that Iran is behind this. Well, the U.N. just came out with a report and said, we cannot verify that Iran had anything to do with this attack. We just can't find it. Do you think, you know, if the U.S. intelligence services had that evidence, it would be in their interest to share it with the U.N. So the U.N. would say, aha, gosh, we got them. So, you know, you would surmise from this, based on this, that the U.S. doesn't have the goods. Otherwise, they would have shared it. But it was a game changer. 50% of the capacity was shut down of Saudi oil production. The Houthis captured an entire Saudi mechanized column. Do you remember that? Dramatic. This is when the war ended. So this is why they're trying to sue for peace. You and I aren't too particular. If it ends this war,
we'll take it.
Ultimately, someone should have to answer for it. But if it's ending, but I want to end this show with a huge thank you to all of you out there. And we're going to talk about this more in the new year. But our program is growing constantly. More and more viewers tune in. Hopefully it's because all of you are losing more faith in the mainstream media. But we've got a little JPEG we want to put up here. This just happened today. Chris Rossini sent it over to us this morning. We just hit 200,000 subscribers to the Ron Paul Liberty Report. And Dr. Paul, not only is that a good number for a hard news show like this, but our subscribers are more engaged. We have a lot of people subscribed, but a lot of them watch the show, unlike a lot of other channels that have huge numbers, but not a lot of interest. And that's thanks to you. So many of you, we meet you in conferences. You say, I watch the show every day. I catch it, you know, as often as I can. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for your support. Now we got to grow to 500,000. So keep telling your friends and relatives and enemies to subscribe to the Ron Paul Liberty Report. Thanks very much.
Very good, Daniel. That is a nice number. I'm very pleased with it. So keep up the good work. You know, talking once again about this policy that is involved with what's going on in Yemen, and we use the word schizophrenia, and that is where reality isn't known. It fluctuates, it comes and goes, and people get very confused. And yet, this is similar in some ways. But what's happening here is, what we've witnessed here is we're expected and to believe that facts change. You know, we'll just change the fact. That's okay, like Daniel said. If we can win it, if they want to change their attitude and to change the facts in order to move in our direction, fine. But it's just a shame that it takes them so long, because next go around, they'll make up the facts again. And, you know, and this is why it's important. You know, when I think of all that squabbling going on over the impeachment process, why don't they have a referee someplace that is, influenced by this factionalism? Why can't somebody just look at the facts, folks? This is the facts. These are the facts. In that case, maybe they should have more libertarians sorting out the differences and forgetting about those two parties that seem to be fighting all the time. But then again, it's the imperfection of man that causes this problem. No matter what the name of the group is, you're going to have it. And it's the argument why government should be very, very small, because man is imperfect. And as soon as you give man more power than he deserves, and has more than the responsibility for himself, and then they're going to make mistakes when they start making decisions for other people, whether it's how they live socially, religiously, economically. And if we tell other countries, man is imperfect, and that's why the amount of energy that is allowed to be spent telling other people how to live should be strictly limited. That should have been what our country was all about. That was the goal of many of the founders of this country. But right now, look at where we are today. We have so many bureaucrats parading us with guns, telling us how to live and what to do, how we live in our social lives, and just think of all the nonsense going on. But someday they're going to wake up and say, well, the facts are that the world would be better off if everybody assumed responsibility for themselves, and that there was no permission or no granting authority for people to use force, whether it's individual force or the force of government, to do things they have no moral authority to do. It doesn't sound complicated, and it could, just accepting that could move in a direction where there would be a lot more peace and a lot more prosperity and a lot less killing. So my vote's for non-intervention all around in all areas of the responsibility of government, because they overreact and we end up with these chaotic messes like in Syria and Afghanistan and Yemen. It would be a lot different. So that's one reason why we exist, and we hope we can spread this message of peace and prosperity. And we do this constantly because we believe it for moral reason, constitutional reason, and for practical reasons. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.